paid good money to see this movie. When they go out to a theater, they want cold sodas, hot popcorn, and no monsters in the projection booth.
Everyone pretend podcasting isn't boring.
Turn it off.
Hey folks, welcome to a special episode of The Projection Booth. I'm your host, Mike White. On this episode, I'm talking with Edo Choi and Sonia Epstein. They are two of the programmers behind the 2024 First Look Film Festival, which takes place at the Museum of the Moving Image. This year, it is happening March 13th through March 17th. Find out more at movingimage.org or look for the link in the show notes where you can see the whole darn program and find out more how to get some tickets. If you're in the New York area, I highly recommend that you get on over there and see a very well curated series of films, shorts, some other things, art installations, good stuff for you. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the interview.
Edo, it has been about a year since we've talked. Can you tell me a little bit about what you've been up to over the last year and how it's been putting together First Look 2024 for the Museum of the Moving Image?
It's been a very stressful, as always, but rewarding process programming the festival. And we've seen a lot of films that we were incredibly excited to bring to New York. It's gone pretty much like normal year. Maybe we're a little bit more or less frazzled.
I think the blessing of putting something together is every year you forget all the stressful parts by the end of it. And it's just such a joy to be there in person. But I've participated in First Look in the past, but mostly focusing on science and screen presentations. And I'd say this is the first year that I've been, you know, more involved in the overall programming. So certainly watching more films than I have in the past and having great conversations with my colleagues, which has been really fun. So I think, yeah, we're 2 weeks out, which is an exciting and whirlwind of a time.
Tell me about the Science on Screen.
Science on Screen is a program that I started at MOMI in 2016. And as the name suggests, the program is meant to showcase films that are somewhat rarely screened. In the case of First Look, that means that they're New York premieres, but really to choose films that one might not think of necessarily as science films, though of course I do show straight up science films as well, and to, as much as we can, focus conversations around those films on the scientific topics and themes that are present.
Now, I know each of these films that you're showing is probably a little close to you. It's like asking you which are your favorite children, but I'm going to ask you anyway. It's very unfair, but what are some of the films that you two are both super excited for people to check out and to see? Of course, I know everything, but what are those particular ones where you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to show this to more people?
As you say, all of them. But to name a few, that will be exciting for a New York audience. I particularly would spotlight Zhang Mengqi's self-portrait 47 Kilometers 2020, which is a Chinese documentary film. Mengqi has been making films of her father's ancestral village for a little over a decade now. And this is the 11th film that she's made in this series of films. I think she averages about one per year. And this is the most ambitious yet. It runs a little over 3 hours. It's a epic kind of landscape portrait of this village in rural China that endured, as we all endured, the COVID-19 pandemic. The film was shot between January 2020 and January 2021. The film is divided into a series of short chapters that correspond to the Chinese lunar calendar, basically, the harvest calendar in China. And It's a very detailed depiction of a provincial way of life in China and of the harvest process over the course of the year, the cultivation of the land. And it's also a kind of multi-generational portrait of this community. So she spends a lot of time with the children, who she actually set up a kind of learning and cultural center for. Mengxi herself lives in the village. And she also spends a lot of time hanging out with the elders of the village and listening to them tell stories about the town and exchange gossip and this sort of thing. So it's this very low to the ground portrait of a Chinese village, but at the same time, it contains all of this history. And I really love it. And then the other film I would mention is a Korean debut narrative feature by a young filmmaker named Kim Tae-young called Mimong. And that film is evocative of films by Eric Rohmer or Richard Linklater. It consists of people encountering each other on the street and then taking walks together and having long conversations that are philosophical and speculative and reflective. And it deals with memory and place and our relationship to a place as we age. And I was really struck by it. It debuted at the Toronto International Film Festival at a world premiere. And I'm very proud that we're showing that. I think that it really heralds a very talented filmmaker who we're going to be seeing really great films from in the years to come.
Since Edo mentioned Mimong, there's a short film that's showing before that called A Perfect Square by a filmmaker, artist, multi-talented person named Gernot Wieland, who is Austrian, based in Germany, who has a great sense of humor. It is a film that loosely follows his trajectory trying to work with an animal trainer to train birds to fly in geometric patterns, but then evolves, devolves, continues on into a kind of a philosophical reflection on attempts to make structures out of nature and to codify things that can't be codified. And yeah, it's a really playfully made yet has some depth to the reflections and connections that he's able to make just through this strange prompt. So that's a film and a filmmaker that I'm really excited that we're able to show. The other two features that I'll mention that are really quite different from each other, but that I really love and I think will be exciting for people to come see. One is Magic Mountain, which is by a filmmaker named Mariam Chachia and Nick Voigt. I believe they'll both be coming. It's the, like all the films, the New York premiere, and it is set in Southwest Georgia, and it's an part epistolary reflection on the sanatorium called the Abustami Sanatorium that was a place for patients with drug-resistant tuberculosis. That combines a poetic reflection on the place with real verite footage of the patients with the filmmaker's own life experience and why she was aware of this place to begin with. So it's just really gorgeous, great, impeccable filmmaking, a film that really will benefit from being seen in the theaters. I'd encourage everyone to come out to that. And that's a science and screen film. And the other one is completely different, yet also very much about place. And that is a film called Knits Island by a French filmmaking trio. And it's basically, it's all set within a video game called Days with a Z. That's a survivalist video game where basically you as a participant are defending yourself against a zombie apocalypse. And it's one of these multiplayer role-playing games. And the filmmakers create journalistic avatars. They have little press badges. And the film is a journey of them really talking to people about how and why they spend their time in this world and simultaneously trying to stay alive. Because if they die, then their avatars will not be able to continue that trajectory. We're super excited to have them in person. MOMI is a place that shows not just film, but television and video games. And I think it's a film that speaks really nicely to the myriad of ways that people use the medium of the moving image. And I'll just end by saying that we also, the filmmakers are going to do a presentation as part of a work in progress showcase that we have called Working On It about another project that they're working with. So that's another way that we're engaging the filmmakers and showing new work they have.
Yeah, I'll just quickly add that Magic Mountain just screened at True False, just had its US premiere at True False. Yeah, I think it's a film that there's going to be some excitement about coming out of that festival.
Do you remember correctly that there's even a art installation at this year's festival?
You do, Mike. Over the years, as First Look has evolved, this is the 13th edition. One of the things that we have been working on is trying to expand the footprint of the festival beyond the movie theaters. We're always showing work in the Redstone and the Bartos. Those are great facilities, but we are a museum and we have exhibition space. And for the first time in a concerted way, we are going to be presenting a gallery installation in conjunction with the festival. This piece is by an Indonesian artist who lives and works in the Netherlands named Fiona Tan. It's the New York, really US premiere, I should say, of a new work called Footsteps. And that is a 97-minute video installation that is composed entirely of archival films from the iFilm Museum in the Netherlands. And it's a very layered piece that, you know, the artist created this really unique soundscape working with a sound designer for this originally silent footage. It's, yeah, there's a lot of things to appreciate in the piece. And Fiona's going to come and the opening will be on March 15th. And that'll include a conversation between she and I. And yeah, then the piece will stay up until June 16th. So many opportunities for people to see it, I hope.
I love hearing how many international filmmakers you have actually showing up at the event. That's got to be amazing for audiences to be able to hear all these different voices from all corners of the world.
We have people coming from, I don't know, Edo, do you know the number of countries off the top of your head?
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head, but I would say that it's about 80 to 90% of the features in the festival are going to have their filmmakers join us, which is really special. It's not something that we always are able to afford to do or make happen just because of schedules. And in this case, there will still be a couple filmmakers who can't make it to the festival, either because of scheduling issues or visa issues or that kind of roadblock. But yeah, I think this is going to be another year where we nearly have all the filmmakers, and that's great.
Yeah, it's a big lift, and we have a great person helping us do that, Einar.
Who's a member of the True False programming team and came aboard as hospitality manager or director last year. And now this year, he's officially our festival producer. And Einar is wonderful. He really cares about making sure that people feel comfortable. And that's the most important part of welcoming a complement of filmmakers to the festival every year. So.
I know every year the festival seems to get bigger and better. What are some of the changes to this year from last year?
We were a little bit more premeditated this year about the gallery component that Sonia just spoke to. And we're continuing to want to grow that aspect of the festival every year. I think that this has turned out to be one of the more ambitious Working On It lineups, which is the section that deals with works in progress. It's a semi-public facing section that's geared more directly to industry professionals. We don't sell tickets to the events, so it's a little bit looser. We don't advertise it as aggressively, but it is open to the public. And it's three sessions over the first 3 days of the festival, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that happen during the day. So during the work day, during the week of work in progress screenings, workshops, lectures, live performances. And it's a chance for filmmakers to encounter other filmmakers and other people who are in the industry to discuss the creative process. And that's a section of the festival that I think our artistic director, Eric Hines, has been nurturing for the last few years. And it's approached a point where we've been able to get significant sponsorship funding pledged to that section specifically. And And it's beginning to, I think, really attract a lot of exciting projects and filmmakers who want to participate.
How many programmers are there for the festival, and how many festivals do you think that they attend throughout the year?
It's just the three of us. So myself, Eric, and Sonia, we are assisted by members of our team, and there are definitely peers and colleagues who each of us informally tap for intel from festivals that we're unable to attend or that we just don't make it to during the course of the year. We don't go to very many festivals. Eric goes to the most out of the three of us, but I probably only make it to two per year. I think Sonia probably makes it to three or four per year. And some of those festivals and some of those festival attendances on our parts are not primarily for First Look. Some of them are for other aspects of the programming that we do year round or other aspects of our jobs at the museum. Actually, a lot of the work we do viewing films for First Look is done by research, basically. It's looking up films that have premiered at festivals we didn't make it to and looking up the coverage of those films and what films won awards in specific festivals. And again, reaching out to colleagues and peers who have some intel to share with us. So it's a kind of year-long process. It heats up in the fall every year after Toronto, which Eric and Sonia both go to every year. But it's something that we're still paying attention to, really from the end of the last First Look. So after this First Look, the process starts. It starts slowly and then it ramps up.
Complimenting what Edo said about the process and the way we look at other festivals, I think there's always an element of discovery that the three of us feel is important to it. We're not like a best of fest festival by any means. There's certain not always easy to articulate, but I think through conversations, we have a feeling of what films feel like First Look films and really try to go far and wide, either physically or through our screens, to use the platform that we've built to showcase films that in some cases might not otherwise make it to New York.
As you're out doing this survey, looking at the programs, getting intel, I know 2 years ago when we talked, you had a pretty good amount of Ukrainian filmmakers and Eastern European filmmakers. Are there any countries that are more represented this year or different themes that you're seeing? We've gone through now a pandemic. We have two major conflicts in the world, and I'm curious if those are being reflected in films presently or if you think that's still yet to come.
So this year, I would say, is one of our more balanced slates in terms of regional representation. We still have a number of very strong, impressive films from Eastern Europe. That's always been an emphasis of ours. And this year, there are two films from Georgia, the film that Sonia was talking about, Magic Mountain, but also a film, an archival documentary film about the 1992 coup d'etat in Georgia called Limitation, that was at the IDFA competition in this past November, and a Armenian film called 1489 by a very young Armenian director that won the IDFA competition this year. We're excited about those three. We also, as we always do every year, have a program devoted to Polish documentary cinema. This year is a mid-length film called Solaris Mon Amour. It's a sort of archival essay film, and then a short film called Handful of Dirt. And that is partially a program arranged through the Millennium Docs Against Gravity Festival that takes place every spring in, I believe, Warsaw. And that festival is, if I'm correct, the largest documentary film festival in Eastern Europe. And we have a close relationship with their team and commit to bringing a couple films from their selection to First Look every year. Eastern Europe remains a point of focus for us, but there are also a lot of great films from East Asia this year. There are a very good Western European films. And there's actually quite a few good U.S. independent films. I would say that U.S. independent films are something that we obviously like to emphasize as well. It's our home turf. And New York independent movies in particular are very exciting for us because that guarantees a lot of excitement among our local audience. And this year we have four films that are New York independent films, both fiction and documentary. That's very exciting.
Can you tell me about some of the Iranian films that you have this year?
Yes, we have two films by Iranian filmmakers. One of the films is actually a film from Germany, or made from Germany by an Iranian expat filmmaker that comprises entirely footage that he filmed of himself and his parents when they were communicating via Skype. So it's all Skype phone call footage. And it's a meditation on distance and the loss of connection to your home when you're living far away from it. And I think it's a very beautiful portrait of a family as well. The other film is by Farhad Dalaran, the narrative fiction. It's a thriller in a way, but somewhat Kafka-esque abstract thriller. It's called Achilles. And it's about a man who, in a self-reflexive turn, is himself a filmmaker. And this character has had a sort of crisis of conscience in his inability to make work of integrity under an authoritarian regime, censorship regime. And the film was made in Iran under that very censorship regime that it's critiquing. And I think it's a very brave work. The filmmaker doesn't live in Iran any longer. And I'm sure that the work didn't ingratiate himself to the powers that be there. At the same time, it was made within that regime and took notes. And so it's received the blessing of that apparatus. So it's a very interesting kind of case of a film that was made within the system that critiques the system at the same time.
I'll just note the first film that Edo mentioned is called What Did You Dream Last Night, Parijana. Just want to get the name out there in case people want to look it up. And certainly we have some really different. I guess I would just say one of the things I love about First Look and about Lineup is really that everything, all the films, even though you can draw these threads, right, based on region, based on style, based on genre loosely, all the films are really distinctive. We have a great film by Lois Patino called Samsara that I guess I would mention, that I think the other part of the program that we haven't mentioned that Edo has the major hand in is the experimental film section. And I guess Samsara is related to that in that even though it's a feature, maybe Edo can speak more about the shorts experimental film program. Samsara, premiered at the Berlinale last year, in fact, but we're delighted to be able to give it its U.S. premiere. And it is a kind of, it's hard to describe, but it's a sort of genre fluid film that is set both in Laos and then in Tanzania and has a sort of interlude in between that is requires a different kind of attention. So hard to say too much about it without totally just explaining the film away, but it's certainly one that you really have to mention. And I think the experimental film sort of showcase is a great thing to highlight as well.
That's a program that I put together with our guest curator, David Schwartz, who's the former chief curator of film at the museum. And it's really an honor and a pleasure to work with David on it. It's a particularly exciting lineup, I think, this year because really large number of pretty prominent major avant-garde filmmakers who are participating. So That includes Kevin Jerome Everson, who has not one, not two, but three new films, all of which are at least North American premieres. One of them is a world premiere. And the great young American filmmaker, New York filmmaker, Carl Elsasser, has his latest film. And Simon Liu, another New York-based filmmaker, has his latest film. So it's a very exciting group of movies. There's a new Nathaniel Dorsky film and a new Lewis Klar film. So there's established figures, and there's also who've been on the scene for the last 30, 40, sometimes 50 years. And then there's filmmakers who are rising stars. And then there's emerging filmmakers. There's filmmakers who I think have not had enough attention put on their work in the United States or in North America, even in this hemisphere. And I'm very proud every year to be able to showcase work by filmmakers like that, because the avant-garde world is a world that doesn't have much light on it to begin with, and there's very few people who cover it. So the only real way that work gets here is through these kind of showcases that happen occasionally during the year, whether it's at First Look or our sister festival, Prismatic Ground, or which we host the opening night of every year, that happens in May, or like the large showcase at the end of the year at the New York Film Festival.
That's exciting stuff. Is this all one program, or are they split out throughout the entire time at the festival?
It's all one program, with the exception of the fact that some of Kevin's films, one of Kevin's films rather, is not going to be part of the shorts program. It'll be presented with a feature film on Thursday night. The two other Kevin films will be premiering in the shorts program.
So the festival runs from March 13th through 17th. I imagine that you are offering a pass so people can go see every darn movie that is possible for them to catch over that, is that 4-day period of time? 5 days. Oh, there goes my math.
Yes. We have an all festival pass, which is great. People just know they want to block off the time, but they don't necessarily, they want to decide last minute what they want to see. And we also have a weekend pass if folks just want to sample a la carte over the weekend. But yeah, it's 5 days. I would suggest that everyone cancel their plans and make this their main event. It's brief in a way, but we really pack it in. Starting on the Wednesday, the 13th, working on it begins at 12 p.m. that day. And the 2 days after it. So it's really 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. programming, I would say. And yeah, everything is worthwhile.
Everything is more than worthwhile.
Everything is insanely worthwhile.
Edo and Sonia, thank you so much for your time. It's always great talking with you, and I hope you have a great festival.
Thank you so much, Mike.